السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
عليكم السلام. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الناس اتقوا الله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We beseech him to send his peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his companions, his family, and those who follow them until the end of time. One of the hallmarks of the methodology employed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the Quran, is that they would address contemporary issues that surrounded the society that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in, alayhi salam. And we mentioned this before, how Surah Al-Adiyat talks about, you know, the camels and how people used to style on camels. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ The ilaf of the Quraysh, the security of the Quraysh was a hot topic in the Arabian Arabian hood, if you will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even addresses things that happened outside Ghulibat al-Rum, you know, outside of the Arabian Peninsula, major events that occurred, you know, for example, the war between the Persians and the Romans. And this empowered the theology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this truth that Allah sent him to resonate with people. He was able to speak a language that affected people's lives immediately and brought benefit to them, whether it was in their relationship with Allah, whether it was in the relationship with themselves, or whether it was in the relationship with the society that they lived in, sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَضُعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-A'raf, he removed the shackles from the people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he eased the affairs for them, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And that's why it's very important for us as a community to be conversant in the things that are going on. And it is not possible for one person to be conversant in everything. But there should be people who focus on certain areas and speak the language of theology or interject the language of theology through those means. Udkhulu abwab mutafarriqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Sayyidina Ya'qub said to his sons, go through different doors in the city, not one door. So for example, Lupe Fiasco or Brother Ali are speaking a certain theological language through a certain dialectic that their people understand. A fashion designer who's a Muslim with his t-shirts or his wallets or his shoes. One brother, he sent me shoes he makes now, mashallah, is speaking to people. A sister, as a chemist or a doctor, as a lawyer, you speak that language, whether you like it or not, as a Muslim, people immediately pay attention to you. So each and every one of us are representatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the sphere of our life. Each and every one of us are the Mus'ab ibn Umair of this age, whether we like it or not. Whether it's in home, whether it's in school, whether it's in the taxi, whether it's on the T, whether it's, you know, in the financial district, whether it's on the minbar. Each of us are speaking and living, alhamdulillah, Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tahseen of our Islam, insha'Allah, and to increase our iman. And for that reason, if we are able to speak the language of the people culturally, then our theology, our deen, becomes much more meaningful to the people. And now the meaning of Islam in the broader society is a skewed meaning. Just yesterday, this morning, on the front page, you have an article about the mall assault that took place in Kenya. And then you have, you know, a young white British woman, they're calling her the white widow, saying that she's out to kill people. The rhetoric about Muslims in general on the front page is we are about killing people. It's not a good way to make friends with folks when they think you want to kill them. It's kind of difficult. So that should not cause us to blame the press or conspiracy theories or Illuminati and, you know, all of this. That should invigorate us to be more committed to being the best examples we can be. Aisha said about the Prophet, كَانَ خُلِقُ النَّبِيِّ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. She said that the character of the Prophet was the Qur'an. In another riwayah, she said, وَكَانَ قُرْآنَ يَمْشِي. As though the Prophet is a walking Qur'an. When I first came to America, the first fatwa I ever wrote in California, after I came back from Egypt, someone asked me, what is the best translation of the Qur'an? So this is my first fatwa in America. I was really happy. You know, it's a dangerous moment. And my answer was, the best translation of the Quran is you. The best translation of the Quran is us. When people see us, they see the Quran. And that's why Alama Iqbal, and his poem in Urdu, actually Persian in Urdu, he said something very beautiful. He said, if the Muslim lives a good life, a righteous life, the Muslim man and Muslim woman committed to goodness, when people see them and see how they act and treat them, their fitra, the fitra of those people will say to them, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. The Muslim will be such a benefit and blessing to the person that when they see the Muslim, they will say in their hearts, which of the favors of your Lord can you deny? This person is such of benefit to us. For that reason, we're going to talk about something that is really popular today. In fact, this is the first khutbah I've ever given where people texted me and said, I'm looking forward to this khutbah. Or I can't wait. In fact, some brother texted Yusufi and said, I want the Breaking Bad khutbah. right? That's not something we should laugh about. Someone accused us of pop Islam. That's making Islam relevant. Today you're going to notice more young people in the audience than normal. Why? It's relevant, right? And the way of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even using poetry to touch the people's hearts, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and humor, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is not pop Islam. This is living theology. It's very easy to live theology 200 years ago, 300 years ago, and ignore the plight of the people around us. But the challenge is, how do we live theology for now and for the future? This show is actually a very interesting show because television brings with it a host of problems. One of the major problems of television is that it divides choices into two. Choices that mean nothing, moral neutrality, and then choices, you know, when the going gets rough, somehow the celebrity, the star, is able to pull and muster enough energy to become suddenly like, you know, solving major world crises. We'll see, for example, on shows, someone will be playing a video game and they'll tell him, you know, your patient is dying. You'll say, well, I'll wait until he reaches this, you know, stage because of John Hopkins. They told me until he reaches that stage, he'll be fine. And then when they tell him he reaches that stage, he rushes to the hospital and saves the person. That's not how life works. So one of the dangers of television in general is that it reinforces a misunderstanding of the importance of choices. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he related on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he said that the mu'min, the believer, takes their sins like mountains. No matter how small the sin is, they consider it, that choice of doing evil affects them. And the hypocrite, he considers the small sins like, you know, flies. One of my teachers used to tell me that if you think about it, mountains are made of small rocks at the end of the day. So those small sins, when they accumulate, lead to major problems. But this show is different. It's 5 seasons long. 5 seasons of bad choices. And it actually echoes what we find in our own theology, that every choice ultimately matters. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرَ وَإِمَّا كَفُورَ. Allah says, we guided him either to choose her, she or he, the good way or the bad way. There's consequences. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْإِحْسَانِ. Allah said, the good brings the good. وَلَا تَزِيرُ وَازِيرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. So the first lesson we take from the show actually is something we can benefit from. The reinforcement of choices. The choices that we make now may come back to haunt us later. We ask Allah Ta'ala bil'afiyah. This show has a character, his name is Walter. Walter becomes Fir'aun. He becomes Fir'aunic. If you were to psychoanalyze him, you know, you wouldn't use Freud, of course, thank God, but you would say that he has become very Fir'aunic. And there are reasons for this. How did the bad break him? Because that's really what happened. Number one is that he was afflicted with an illness, cancer. And when he was afflicted with this test, this fitna, he decided to make some choices. And that test ate at his ethics. This happens to us every day as Muslims, every single day, every single moment usually, our battle. As Imam Ibn Qayyim said, "Kullu shakhsin," every person has two mu'adhins around them. One mu'adhin is calling to Allah, the other mu'adhin is calling to evil. And he said, according to the state of the person's iman, he or she will make the right choice. So our iman is affected not only by our internal states, but the external states. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us how to break bad. When he said, ittaqi laha haythuma kunt. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a better translation, it's very difficult actually to translate this beautiful statement of our beloved messenger, which means fear Allah wherever you are, physically or spiritually, mentally, or your what, in any situation, whether internally or externally, tangible or intangible, fear God. Because the fear of God is the way out. And what he means by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not that old, you know, southern religion fear of God. What he meant is imtithal bi awamiri, is to observe his orders and to stay away from his disobedience. And oftentimes one of the greatest variables that affects our obedience to God are tests, especially in health. So we see that Walter is affected by a test, cancer. The second thing that affects him is fear. We'll talk about this in the second khutbah. إِنَّمَا ذَارِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ خَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, Shaitan tries to inspire you to fear things. And we know the famous poetry of Shawqi about the ant who كانت النملة تمشي مرة تحت المقطم فارتخى مفصلها من هيبة الطود المعظم. We know about this ant who was on this hill. She was climbing the hill and she said, I'm an ant. Why would an ant climb a mountain? I'm just an ant. And she became fearful and she ran down the hill as fast as she can. As Shawqi says, سقطت في شبر ماء هو عند النمل كاليم. And she fell into a puddle. And he says, a puddle to an ant is an ocean. And then she began to drown. And she said, why did I obey the fears? Why didn't I think objectively? And then he says, صاحٍ لا تخشى عظيماً فالذي في الغيب أعظم. And then he says, exactly, exactly. Don't fear the unseen, because what awaits you can be worse for you. So we see here, Walter is someone motivated by intangibles, fear. We'll talk about that in the second khutbah. And it causes him to make an ethical mistake. He gives in to morality based on fear, based on this test and trial. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقَصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says in the Quran that you should give good news to those who are tested, because the test will be good for them in the hereafter. As the Prophet said, أَعْجَبَ لِلْأَمْرِ مُؤْمِنِ. Prophet said, I'm amazed at the affair of every believer. Everything they do is good. وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And the only one who has that is the believer. Any situation they benefit from. So the Muslim approaches tests not in a way to suspend moral responsibility or to adopt a moral neutral policy. The Muslim embrace test as an opportunity to express their gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is allowing that test to be a means for them to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. The second lesson that we take is that sin is a slow burn. It's a slow burn. 5 seasons. You know, when you first start watching that show, you think by the first week, the next week, this guy's gonna be dead. But it's a slow burn. And that sin brings with it a posse. Sin has boys. Sin has ashab. So initially the show starts, his wife is the model of morality. By the end of the show, she's sitting with him counting dead presidents, man, getting paid. White woman from the suburbs. By the beginning of the show, she could have been the mother on Brady Bunch. The end of the show, she could have been on The Wire. That's what happened to her. Hank, arrogant, and he maintains his arrogance, and they're blinded by their sin. And that's why Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, رَأَيْتُ ذُنُوبَ تَمِيتُ الْقُلُوبِ. Ibn Mubarak said, I saw sins killing hearts, destroying them. Imam Ibn Qayyim said the greatest sign that the heart is sick is that the haram becomes beautiful and the halal becomes detestable. So we see a man who makes a moral decision. Not only does it affect him, it affects his family and those around him. But also it blinds him because he's unable to gain his moral compass again. Sin is a slow burn. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih Muslim, this hadith is so terrifying. The Prophet ﷺ said that the example of sin on the heart is like a black dot. That when a person sins, that dot touches their heart. And if they repent to Allah, the heart becomes filled with light again. But if they go back to the sin, the spot grows larger. Right? They repent to Allah, the heart has light in it again. They commit it again, it grows larger. The Prophet said, until the heart is completely dark. And what he meant by dark is not color. What he meant is that the heart, لا يبصر الحق ولا يفرق بين الحق والباطل. That the heart loses its ability to see the difference between good and evil. The other lesson that we learn from this show is the danger of thoughts. Imam Al-Ghazali, radiallahu anhu, Abu Hamid, we read his book every Friday here, alhamdulillah. He was asked, when does someone start to fornicate? Like, when does that happen? When does zina begin? Al-Ghazali said, it begins with a thought. It begins with a thought. At-tasawwur. وبعد التصور التصديق وبعد التصديق التنفيذ. Imam Ibn Qayyim said, إياكم والخطرة. Ibn Qayyim said, be careful of bad thoughts. فإن لم تفعل صارت شهوة. Because if you don't be careful of bad thoughts, Walter, man, who would have thought a chemistry teacher is going to make meth? Just like who would think that a Muslim who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with iman would throw that iman away for something else? يُبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ Subhanallah. Who will give up the dhikr store for the liquor store, the minbar for the minibar? Who will allow themselves to make that exchange? So here we see that moral dilemma. And Muslims are going to be subjected to every day to this moral dilemma because we want to come out pure in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim said, إِيَّاكُمْ الْخَطْرَ Watch out for bad thoughts. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ صَارَتْ شَهْوَةً Because if you don't, they will become desires. فَقَطِّعْهَا So amputate them. You know, amputation, we have a number of physicians here. Amputation is the last thing you want to do. So Ibn Qayyim is like saying, the submarine is sinking. The heart is in danger. Amputate. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ صَارَتْ هَمَّ وَعَزِيمَ Because if you don't, those desires will become aspirations and objectives, goals that you have. And he said, if that happens, فَهَارِبْهَا Declare jihad against them. So it started with a thought. The thought went to a desire. The desire now has led to aspirations. Ibn Qayyim said, فَجَاهِدْهَا Make jihad against them. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ صَارَتْ فِعْلًا Because if you don't, then those desires are ultimately going to turn into aspirations, which are ultimately going to turn into actions. فَدَارِكْهَا بِدِدِّهِ Then do the opposite of that action. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَصَارَ عَادَةً Because if you don't, it will become a habit. فَيُصْعَبُ عَلَيْكُمْ اِنْتِقَالُ عَنْهَا And it will be hard for you to stop it. And that's what we saw in this show. Someone who makes a decision, stays committed to that evil decision, and doesn't think about going back, even after Allah blessed him with his health. The other way to break bad, we see that Walter made a crucial mistake, is to understand the value of the hereafter versus the value of this world. Wallahi, hada su'al, that question is what saves the believer. When we find ourselves tempted, all of us, me, you, we're all out there, we all have those struggles, those challenges, that pull on the heart. But the ultimate question, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى is to remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ This is what Allah promised me, alhamdulillah. Imagine the Sahaba, even in the battlefield, they're losing, they say, this is what Allah promised us. Young brother gets on the tee, one blink, one wink, one number, one digit, one note, his iman's out the door. Come on, huh? Sister, out there, Richard comes and hollers at you. I'm 28, I'm never going to get married. I might as well, you know, who cares? There's some ishtihadat that allows it. The heart is pulled. Mortgage the home, the heart is pulled. Go off on my family, the heart is pulled. So the question comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ What's with Allah is going to last forever. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you compare the akhirah to this life, it's like the ocean and a drop taken from the ocean. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. The next, subhanallah, is to understand that blessings can be curses. That's why Imam Ibn Rushd, radiyallahu anhu, he said, foolish is the person who thinks, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of dunya to them that they're blessed. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِرُوا بِهِ when they forgot what we blessed them with. We see in Breaking Bad, you know, he keeps falling, but he keeps also getting what he wants. And that's the double entendre of the show. But for us as Muslims, we believe that sometime what we might think a ni'm actually cannot be a ni'm. For example, you go to hear a sheikh give a speech. You say, man, my iman is so high, mashallah. And the next day you miss Fajr. What's the benefit of that speech? You get a promotion, the next day you miss Fajr. What's the benefit of that promotion? You get to come to America to study, and the thing that shaitan is telling you the whole way in the plane is, man, you're going to hit the clubs like, you know, like Little John. Instead of saying Allahu Akbar, you're making a fool out of yourself in a club. And there was a group of brothers once who came here, I remember, from overseas. And one of them, he contracted AIDS. And he told me, I went to the club, I was so excited to go to one of those dirty South clubs or whatever, you know, make it rain and all that. I said, you made it rain fire, man. He said, I woke up the next morning in the hotel room and lipstick on the mirror was, welcome to the world of AIDS. So choices and how they affect us and the calamity of sin and the erosion of morality are found a constant. And the way to address that is to realize the value of the hereafter compared to the value of this world. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hereafter is surrounded by difficulties and hardship. Meaning Jannah is surrounded by difficulties and hardship. Hellfire is surrounded by lusts and desires and ease. Blessings can be a curse if they're not used fi ibadati Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of our brothers, he just got a really nice car. Really nice car, man. Nice car. BMW, man. Nice. And he said to me, you know how I'm using this car? To go to Fajr faster. That's okay, but don't break the law. But like, that's a good attitude to have. Like, now that Allah has blessed me with this nice car, I'm not gonna miss Fajr anymore. You get married. I tell people all the time, the morning after is the most important thing, not the first night. They say, why? Do you pray Fajr together? Or did you forget? Is it a blessing or is it a curse? So we see in the story, a man is given the money that he wants. Mata'u dunya qaleel, Allah says in the Quran. But it causes him to move farther and farther and farther and farther away from Allah. When I was memorizing Quran, there was a brother who memorized Quran with me, and we were together. We memorized together. And we reached Surah Ma'idah. He started like slacking off. And this guy had an amazing memory. So I asked him, فَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِرُوا بِي is in Surah Ma'idah, subhanAllah. The verse in Surah Ma'idah says, they will forget a lot of what they memorized. So I said to him, هَذِي الْآيَةِ وَصَفَتْكَ This ayah is talking about you. Then a week later, he came back. He started destroying me. My man started memorizing 2 pages a day. And I said to him, what happened? And he said, have you ever heard of PlayStation 2? At that time, I was in the Molana world. I said, I don't know anything about PlayStation 2. And he said, I got this game, man. And I started Gran Turismo. And I played like 8 hours a day. And I wasn't able to do my lesson. But my mother sent it to me because I was doing my hifz as like a gift. I said, that wasn't a gift. That was hell. Then I said, what happened? He said, I threw it away, man. I threw the whole thing in the trash. I amputated it because I realized it wasn't really a blessing. Don't throw your spouse in the trash, of course. But the point is, understand blessings, if they're not used right, can be against us. Even the Quran. The Prophet said, Al-Quranu hujjatun lak alayk. Can you imagine? The Prophet said, the Quran can be for you or against you. Who could imagine that? Because it's not about the substance, it's about the subject who uses that object. So we see Walter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the story, allows him to achieve what he wants, but it only pushes him into further calamity. And that's why the ulama say, what started with obedience to Allah, Allah will make sure that the obedience stays there. He will protect the person from slipping. And that's why Imam Ibn Ta'al Iskandari said, man ashraqat nihayatu, faqad ashraqat bidayatu. Ibn Ta'ala said, whoever illuminated his ending, it was because he illuminated his beginning. وَمِنْ عَلَمَاتِ النَّجَاحِ فِي نِهَايَةِ الرُّجُوعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْبِدَايَةِ SubhanAllah. And he said, any man or woman who succeeds at the end, the sign of that is that it began with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. Innama al-a'malu biniyat. We also find some reasons why Walter slipped, why he was unable to break bad, but bad broke him. We'll talk about them in the second khutbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to overcome our desires. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuthabbit qulubana ala al-iman. Aqulu qawli hadha astaghfirullah li wa lakum fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa man wala. Allahumma salli wa sallim alayhi fil awwalin wa fil akhirin wa fil mali'il a'la ya rabbal alameen. The first cause for being broken by bad is not to trust qadr, not to trust what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. In fact, many of the ulama said that the first sickness was an arrogance on behalf of Iblis, was dissatisfaction with the plan of Allah. And Imam al-Muhasibi said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّدْبِيرُ. Imam al-Muhasibi said, be careful of always questioning the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ulama said, كُنْ كَالْمَيِّتْ فِي الْمَغْسَلَةِ. You know, some ulama said, what the qadr of Allah means, after you've made all the effort and tried and struggled and everything, be with the qadr of Allah, like the dead person being washed after they died. And we find Walter, what did he say when he was ill? What did he say when he found out he was ill? He said, you know what he said? He said, for once, I want to control things. For once, I want to determine my own destiny. This is the height of a Fir'aunic personality. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. When someone begins to try to wage war against God, by acquiring the attributes of God, that who are you qaddir? Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. This is how they acquire a Fir'aunic state. The opposite of that is to be in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Sayyidina Musa, inna ridai fi ridaik bi qada'i. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Sayyidina Musa, indeed my happiness with you is related to your happiness with me, what I have ordained for you, what I have ordained for you. The second is a lack of a support group. He was alone, basically. He didn't have anyone to talk to. I mean, he ends up reaching out to Hank, I mean, of all people, right? And it's very important that as a community, we support each other. And we talk about support each other. It doesn't mean that we support our successes, but also we should help each other in our failures. We should have Alcoholics Anonymous in the Muslim community. We should have people who are suffering from substance abuse. That should be in our community, just like we have ELS classes. And we should not make fun of those people, look down on those people. We should be the supporters of those people. Al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. We are here for each other. People who suffer from mental illness, students who are alone in the city, singles and divorcees. There has to be at ISBCC, we need to think now, how can we help people break bad? Because it's not enough to tell a woman who's been divorced with 3 or 4 kids on her own and her husband has left the country, is hebi anti wa rabbiki fi qatili. We cannot say to her, go and fight, we'll watch. Or a brother who's gone through a divorce, or a brother who's got substance abuse issues, to say to him and her, you know, we don't want to look at you, get away from us. Fi bibabi ta'zirat. The Prophet said, Al-Mu'min, Al-Mu'min kal-bunyan. We are like one support system. So we see that one of the reasons he made this mistake is that he did not have a healthy support system. A community of compassionate orthodoxy, compassionate theology. As our Prophet said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثُ بِالْحَنَفِيَةِ سَمْحَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was sent with tawheed, he said, and I was sent with compassion. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last point that we'll make about Breaking Bad is really the theme, and I alluded to it in the beginning. The theme of fear and fear. In this case, it was the fear of giving up on his morals or the fear of potential poverty for his family. In our case as Muslims, it's the fear of God and the fear of dunya. The fear of God and the fear of dunya. Or the fear of dunya and the love of God. The scholar said the highest maqam to overcome the highest station, to overcome the fear of this world, is the love of God. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ لَهَا يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever fears Allah, whoever is dutiful to God in all situations, God makes a way, an escape pattern for them. And many of the scholars said, where is the one who feared Allah, who established the taqwa, and Allah did not help them? Like anyone who did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided and assisted them. So that battle happens every day, whether it's putting on the hijab, worrying about what people are going to say about you, whether it's coming to community that you're not sure you're religious enough for. I'm not sure if I'm religious enough for this community. What the heck does that mean? When we go to the bar, we don't say, I hope I'm not bad enough. I'm not bad enough for this community. Why is it always about the goodness? When people go to evil places, I don't go to bars. Ala sabili mithal. When people go to evil places, does shaitan ever stop them and say, you know what? You're just not bad enough for these folks. You need to go and do more evil and come back, right? Go do worse stuff, then you can get in. How come it's always with good things? Because shaitan sits in front of the masajid as a hadis to keep people away from them. So the challenge that we face every single day, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's, you know, on the tee, whether it's in the street, whether it's in the masjid, whether it's interacting with people, whether it's internally, is a challenge of fear. Don't be like the ant. Don't drown in a puddle. And don't be like Walter, whose fears ultimately pushed him to sell out any sense of morality. And he drowned himself. To the point that he is very similar to the people in Surah Yunus. وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they were in a boat and waves started hitting the boat. دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And when that boat was rocked, they became the most pious people. لَئِنْ أَنْجَيْتَنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَا مِنْ شَاكِرِينَ. If you save us, O Allah, we'll be thankful to you. فَلَمَّا أَنْجَيْنَاهُمْ. When we forgot them, يَبَغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. When we blessed them and saved them and gave them what they were looking for, they forgot us and moved through the earth with great oppression and evil. So fear. And the way to deal with fear is tawakkul ala Allah, to trust in Allah. وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah said, if you've made a decision, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last point that will make this dangerous about the show is fatalism. The idea that if you do bad, you'll see bad immediately. And if you do good, you'll see good immediately. This is not how Islam works. We are not asked to worship Allah for results. We are asked to worship Allah because Allah is Allah. And believe that the results will wait for us in the hereafter or in this life. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. When the man asked the Prophet, مَتَ السَّاعَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When is the hour? مَا عَدَّدْتَ لَهَا. What did you prepare for it? Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So the Muslim is not into fatalism. Well, if I'm bad, immediately I'll see bad. If I'm good, immediately I'll see good. So that means I'm good or bad. No. Sometimes the good people are tested. The good people are afflicted with hardships. We leave the wisdom to Allah. And sometimes we see bad people. I remember a sister told me, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, just losing it. I said, what does losing it mean? She said, you know, I see all these girls at school, they don't wear any clothes, and they get married. Me, I'm holding it down, trying to do it right. I go to someone's house, and they tell me, we will never marry you to our son because you wear hijab. And I said to her, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتُ. In this situation, Allah said, just stay down. Just stay down. Just stay down. Just stay strong. Just stay down. So the idea here is that we don't believe in fatalism, we believe in istiqamah. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And this is how we break bad. Number one, humility with the plan of God. Humility with what God has decreed. whether it's a test internally or externally. Number two, we fight our own sense of arrogance, our own sense of value. He was a very, very skilled chemistry teacher. I've never seen a chemistry teacher with that kind of acumen. And that's what ultimately got him in trouble. That's why the ulama said, the origin of all spiritual calamities is ar-ridha bin nafs, is the assumption that I'm right. The assumption that at the end of the day, ultimately, I'm right. And the Prophet used to say, don't let me trust myself, tarfata'in, even the blinking of an eye. And this is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, the goal is ibadah. The goal is to establish the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of our scholars used to say to a Sheikh Ishmawi, he used to say the example of a person who worries about everything except their relationship with Allah is like the person, and their relationship is broken, is like the person that has a scorpion under his thobe and he's trying to swat flies from the faces of other people. He says, start with the scorpion. And then that will come as a result of that. The fourth is not to assume that blessings are blessings unless we use them in the right way. So I got to go to a certain school, I received a certain promotion, that means Allah has blessed me. That depends on how you or I use that blessing. The fifth, a support group. Our communities, we have to stop teaching theology only and teach sociology. The masjid should be places where people feel welcome and warm and comfortable, and they can come to and share their challenges and be embraced for that, not castigated for it. The last is the battle of fear and morality. For us, the fear of Allah and the fear of this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ash-shaytanu ya'idukum al-faqr wa ya'murukum bil-fahsha." Shaytan calls you to the fear of poverty, calls you to do evil. Wallahu yad'ukum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites you to forgiveness in paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yuslih balana wa yuthabbit aqdamana wa yansurna ala a'da'ina ya rabbal alamin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us break bad. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us approach the sayyi'at and obliterate them with hasanat in tawbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and nakhtim hayatina ala shahadati la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us die in a state of faith. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of benefit to those around us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us benefit to the city of Boston. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to yutahhir qulubana min nifaq. Ask Allah to purify our hearts from nifaq. Wa al-sinatina min al-kathib. And our speech from lying and evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuhyi qulubana bil iman. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to revive our hearts with iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaj'alna min at-tawwabin, to make us from those who constantly repent to Him. We ask Allah to bless the young people in our community, to give them the strength to lead and share and bring that energy that's so important to our community. We ask Allah to bless the elders, to have the wisdom to engage them and teach them and guide them. We ask Allah to bless the sisters in our community, those who are single, those who are divorced, those who have children, those who are struggling. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are elderly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate all your hardships. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the men of this community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. We ask Allah to make us مِنْ هَؤُلَىٰ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who He says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to يُؤَدِّبْهُمْ أَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبًا. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach them, give them ilham in their hearts that they will live, inshallah, a life that will be pleasing to Him. We ask Allah to help our brothers and sisters and all of those who have substance abuse issues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the love of the wine of the hereafter more beloved to them than the love of the wine of this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our new converts to Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide your friends and your family and give you an understanding of Islam. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.